SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two at the races on this Monday. And as I mentioned at the start of the show, the word came Friday, started to circulate that Harvey Clark had passed on Thursday at 77, family with him in New Jersey. And later this morning, in about an hour, the services for Harvey Clark, who was just the kind of contributor and stakeholder that the game treasures. And Steve Shahinney and his longtime partner and bloodstock advisor joins us. Steve, speaking for everybody, so saddened by this news.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for having me. It's a sad day for the Clark family and everyone who knew him. I'm actually in my car driving toward the funeral with Dr. Mike and Mary Chavanis, who were good friends. I met Harvey Clark about 42 years ago when he brought his children for riding lessons. And when I got a trainer's license in 1980, Mike Chavanis was a young vet. And that combination of folks have been together for a very long time. And there are a lot of people in this game that are thankful for having known Harvey Clark. He's just that kind of a person. He was honorable, straightforward, sense of humor, and always let anyone who worked with or on his horses do the right thing for the horse, and that made him different or special in a game where the financial constraints are very often in tension with the best interests of the horse. Excuse me.
Not at all. Well put. And you know, you look at his history and then, you know, the things you did together, Steve, and his story and his involvement in the game is so typical. He kind of waded in at a modest level and, you know, with experience and you know, added layers of contact and, you know, a circle of people, including the Seitz family, Fred and his sons and, you know, the team at Brookdale. And you bring in, you know, you really give the impression of what it takes to be a success. And like it is with so many operations, you know, with maturity, just a litany now of important horses that began to be produced, whether you campaigned them or bought them or bred them. And when you look at, you know, the names involved here, I mean, a dual classic winner and I'll Have Another, and most recently Soldat, and Cairo Prince, who's clearly going to be a major horse in the barn going forward as a stallion.
True enough. Actually, Fred Seitz partnered with, I worked for Dave Lambert for a few years, and among his clients, many of whom were very good people, I spotted Fred as being a really good man. And I introduced Harvey to him, saying to both folks that you two should partner on horses together, spread the risk, because I know you'll get along. And when Fred decided he would take his hand at horse racing, they actually were partners on a filly called May Knight, who broke her maiden in the initial running of the P.G. Johnson Stakes. And that was Fred Seitz's first win as a horse trainer.
Yep.
And and they hit it off. And anytime Harvey Clark would come to Kentucky, there was always the Seitz family evening where the whole family would get together with Harvey. There was no visit to Kentucky that did not include the Seitz family.
We talked many times with Fred as May Knight was piling up wins, and we had so much fun. And not only did you become a favorite of mine and on the show, but then her son, Red Rifle, as it happens, Todd Pletcher is going to be with us in the third hour, Steve. And in a lot of ways, Todd was a major recipient of the success of the breeding program. And he had Red Rifle. He had Stop Charging Maria that came out of Exotic Bloom that Fred and Harvey, right? And also Havana.
Absolutely.
Havana is another one that Todd had.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exotic Bloom was a mare with, we have to give props to Linda Sims for having picked her out at an OBS June sale for Fred, and I happened to be in Ocala, I think it was in August, saw that filly and called Harvey, and I said, call Fred, you need to partner on this filly, and that was another nice filly. It was, and it was Stop Charging Maria only sold when Fred decided to retire, and we went back and forth on whether we should hang on to her or not. And unfortunately, as has been my wont, I've made the wrong choice, and we sold her.
Well, that, you know, that part of it, of course, is you know, part of the sort of the roulette wheel of luck in racing. And you know, there's plenty of people. You think about Santulli, you know, and we just, in fact, we just talked to Shug McGahee about Dr. Monty, who bred by Watts Humphrey, you know, keeps the fillies, sells the colts, and you know, that's
right.
Part of the equation. Talk about the I'll Have Another experience, because he was a backwards yearling. You looked at him and you said, let's put him through the ring.
I absolutely did. I don't think I was alone. I think everybody had a similar opinion. He was just very, very weak and backward behind. And we sold him. And Harvey would always say to me, you know, when the auctioneer said, I have 11, can I get 12? Every other genius on the planet also walked away, so we weren't alone. And I have a funny follow-up story to that one. I saw him at the OBS sale, and I called him. I said, I think we made a mistake. I said, he's getting, this whole colt is much, much stronger, perhaps due to some help of some sort. But he's getting an ankle, and he said, what's he going to cost, 50 to 100? He said, walk away. And then when the horse ran second in the Best Pal, I called him and I said, Harvey, that horse just ran second in the Graded Stake. Am I fired? And there was an uncomfortable pause on the line, and I don't know if you're an Animal House fan, but he said, you're not fired, but I may have to put you on double secret probation. And I think the story there is that part of being a good horse owner is recognizing that the vast majority of the time you are disappointed. When there's 10 horses in the race and one horse wins it, there's 9 people that aren't that happy. Yep. And if you can't handle that part of the game, you can't handle it. And Harvey Clark was a guy that no bad news ever resulted in him being crabby, or if he was disappointed, which we all would be, he didn't take it out on anybody else. It's just part of the game.
And he took tremendous pleasure in being the breeder of a you know, of a Triple Crown potential candidate. And well, in the same way, in fact, you know what, you could almost echo this year's story with John Gunther. I mean, John Gunther was gleeful watching Justify Tromp through the classic
absolutely.
Season.
And you get your benefits. I think with Stop Charging Maria, we sold a very good mare that earned millions, but we also sold the Dam and the More Than Ready Half that didn't do anything for $500,000 apiece. So no one can ever know what might have happened with a horse in different hands. If Todd Pletcher hadn't had Stop Charging Maria, we don't really know what her record might have been.
That's a great point. You know, you relayed a few stories that have made the tributes to Harvey Clark, and the most poignant and the one that can't go untold by you is the one involving Yankee fortune. And this
oh,
is
yeah.
an exemplar of what Harvey Clark was about as a human being. And I you know, I said he's the definition of a mensch,
absolutely.
This really says it.
You want to hear that story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody knows it.
No, no.
I was shopping at the Keeneland November sale, and at Airdrie they brought out this little Yankee gentleman colt, and he looked like a chia pet. He must have had 4-inch long hair, and I laughed when I saw him, and then they walked him, and I said, oh. So we bought him for $22,000. Fred then retired. The easiest way to resolve it, we stuck him in the yearling sale. He brought 37. He went to Kieran McLaughlin. He ran in September of his two-year-old year and didn't run well. And I had seen him in the spring. I was a little disappointed. I asked Kieran, is this horse no good? And he said, no, he's okay, but he's not going as well as he had been, and I'm not sure. Something might be bugging him, but nobody can. I said, send him home. We gave him the winter off. Got him going locally in Lexington in late February, sent it to Kieran, and I had read somewhere that the Yankee Gentleman was a synthetic sire, a leading synthetic sire in North America. I said, well, we don't have that in New York. Run him on the grass. And Kieran was going to put him in a maiden special weight. I said, no, run him for 50 and pick a rider that isn't a hot rider. Pick somebody that, because this horse is okay, we'll be all right. He names Victor Santiago, who might have been a bug boy at the time or just lost his bug, and the horse won by 3 on the grass, came back, and the rider said to Kieran, this is the best horse I ever rode. And Kieran and I were laughing about it, and I said, well, we better not take this kid off this horse. I don't want to break his, you know, the horse is okay, and he rode him fine. We'll leave him on. And his three-year-old year was 5 for 5, including he won a fifth maiden 50, starter 50, and A other than at Saratoga by 7 lengths, won the Hawthorne Derby, the Commonwealth Turf Cup against a bunch of future grade one winners, I believe. You have to look that up. I may not be a reliable source, but then he bled and an ankle showed up, and we ended up putting him in for 50. And Jason's service claimed him, and I said to Harvey, if that horse ever shows up for 10, we'll just claim him, throw him in a field. And he disappeared. I called Jason. He told me he'd sent him to a guy in Jersey who had a girl that rehabbed. And I said, do you mind if I get that number? And I called the guy who gave me the girl's number, gave it to Harvey. She called the gal and said, I'm Harvey Clark. Here's my number. Call me if you ever need anything, and I'll get to the point here. She calls him about a year and a half later. He's colicking all day long. I can't afford to do surgery. I'm going to put him down at midnight if he doesn't come out of it. Harvey Clark hung up, called Brooke Ledge, called Patty Hogan, got the horse to the clinic, did a surgery. I think there may have been some complications. For some reason, it ended up being about an $8,000 bill, which he paid all of. And then when the horse was in good shape, he called old friends, made another contribution, and Yankee Fortune today is out at old friends. And the last time I saw him, he was in a paddock with Game On Dude. And that's Harvey Clark.
Exactly. And on that note, I should mention those that have not read or seen the, if you'd like to pay respect to Harvey Clark, donations
exactly.
to old friends, to the TRF, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, or New Vocations, any would be appreciated. And you know, I mentioned earlier about New Vocations. You know, Harvey was one of the
yep.
one of the first.
Absolutely.
Anna Ford was getting started with that program, Triple Crown races and Breeders' Cup participation, and donating percentage of winnings. Harvey's name was always in the press release. He said yes. I don't think he knew the word no.
Not when it came to doing the right thing, that's for sure.
And, you know, you mentioned that you're with Dr. and Mrs. Shimonis, and they'd like to pay respect.
Yep.
I know Michael through Paul Pompa, who, of course, he's worked with for a long time, and, you know, one of the most respected consulting veterinarians in the game. And Steve, please, for everyone you know, in the industry, pass along to Donna and the family how much the game will miss Harvey Clark.
Steve, thank you so much for having me on, and I hope people learned a little more about Harvey Clark and who he was as a result of this interview. Thank you so much.
Not at all. Steve Shahinian and the Shimonises together, and we'll certainly get Fred Seitz, I imagine, and probably a visit too with Kieran McLaughlin, because it seems, you know, Kieran had a lot of fun. And, you know, you look at all the partnerships, you can always tell somebody that is a good partner when they have all these associations, and whether it was with Paul Braverman or with Fred, or you know, then later with Craig Robertson and Nam Cook, you know, obviously Harvey a welcome partner, and teamed up with so much success, and will be greatly missed. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. John White's going to join us, and Don Schnell, who won the La Cunada with a Manitoba bred. They sent Mike Willman and the team scurrying into the record books, trying to find the last Manitoba bred to win a graded stake, and I think they're still looking. Graded stake at Santa Anita, anyway. Back after this, though, John White joins us. John will be the host for Beat the Host this week, and we'll get a couple of other thoughts in from the week past at Santa Anita, and I'll give you the results. There was a tie at the top of the Beat the Host contest on Saturday. Two players shared 1,125 each instead of just one winner. So that's kind of cool. We'll talk about Beat the Host and more. John White joins us next at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, ExpressBet. Give me 12 grand to win on the 9 at Gulfstream. Yeah, that's what I said. 12 grand. 12,000 smackaroos. 12,000...
Mikey! Hang up the phone! You crazy? You can't bet that much.
Quiet, Joey. I'm practicing.
Practicing? Practicing for what? Divorce?
No, I'm practicing my Pegasus Big Bet with my friends at ExpressBet.
Ooh, the contest is back?
And better than ever. All you gotta do is register for free at ExpressBet.com. Then you'll earn entries for every bet you make until January 14th. The more you play, the more chances you have to win.
And you win a $12,000 bet on the Pegasus?
And a VIP trip to Gulfstream with airfare, hotel, tickets, it's all included. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some more practicing to do.
Yeah.
So, ExpressBet, you still there? Good. Like I was saying,
ExpressBet is the official online wagering partner of the Pegasus World Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to bet today. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. And I thank Steve Chaney and for the visit to pay tribute to his friend and partner, Harvey Clark, and undoubtedly we'll hear from others this week. Right now, John White joins us, and John kind of standing in a little bit for, not that John isn't on every Monday or Tuesday, but standing in for Johnny D, who will continues to recoup, and we'll get Johnny in, I think, next week, and John joins us. The Beat the Host circumstance, John, a nation turns its lonely eyes to you. where have you gone? Beat the hosts. You better step up here because the hosts are taking a beating.
Well, good morning. And since I so to speak am pinch hitting for the great Johnny D, I feel obliged to at least start off by saying that I am sorry about the birds. I did think they would give New Orleans a battle. I said that to you last week, and they did. You know, they went in there, and that's a tough place to play, and the birds, I thought, maybe had them. But unfortunately, the Eagles couldn't get the job done, and a lot of people in Los Angeles rooting for Philadelphia because the preference certainly would have been for the Rams to play the Eagles here in Los Angeles at the Coliseum rather than now have to go and play the Saints in the Dome. So, and speaking of Los Angeles, it was a very disappointing performance by the Chargers, who had such a terrific year, but boy, it ended on a sour note going to New England. And once again, Belichick and Brady showed boy, you just don't want to go into New England, have to play them at home in a playoff game because, boy, you talk about a tall order, and that game was over in a hurry. So, but now we've got our Rams, and when I was in Las Vegas in the summer on August 1st, I bet the Rams at 9-1 to win the Super Bowl. So I've got that 9-1 bet going still, and we'll see if we can skate past the Saints and get into the Super Bowl, but it won't be easy because, like I say, that is a tough place to go in and win. So, the Rams certainly stepped up. That was a good performance by them against the Cowboys because I didn't think that was going to be an easy assignment either with that defense the Cowboys has, and I was impressed with the way the Rams
they ran them over.
Yeah.
They just ran them over.
Exactly. Well put, Steve. I mean, they did. They just ran them over.
Steamrolled. And that, you know, that CJ Anderson story is really, it's a great story, and it transcends sports. It could be any walk of life, or it could be a jockey, it could be a trainer. It doesn't matter. It's a great lesson for everybody. And he said it post game, you know, when you're down, don't, you know, you're not out unless you quit. And I think that was one of the weekends from any sport or any storyline. That was really great. You know, cut by two teams during the course of the year, and now you know, on his way to a championship game. It's encouraging. It's a nice story.
Well, I came out with my first Kentucky Derby Top 10 list at ExpressBet.com this past week, and Game Winner, who's number one on my list, had his first workout of the season last Wednesday, and it was a very sharp workout. I'll tell you, that raised my eyebrows, 35 and change for him, and his first work since the Breeders' Cup.
And but we're bracing for a real run of wet weather this week. Unfortunately, we have a 100% chance of rain today, 80% chance of rain Tuesday, 80% chance of rain Wednesday, 100% chance of rain Thursday. And the racing office wisely did not card any turf racing for Santa Anita's Thursday card, an A-race card, so it's all on the dirt, which is smart, because when you look at that forecast, the chances of having any races on the turf were not even slim. They were none. And but once we get past Thursday, the forecast really brightens up. It's a 10% chance Friday, and then it's like 0% for at least 9-10 days. So once we get past this week, at least if the forecast holds, we'll really get into a nice run of good weather past this Thursday. But it looks grim here in the Los Angeles area for the next few days. And Bob Baffert saying that if all goes well for game winner, he'll make his first start of the year in the March 9th San Felipe Stakes, which then he would likely go into the Santa Anita Derby and then into the Kentucky Derby. And some people might say, well, he's only had the 1 3-furlong workout. Isn't he kind of behind the game here a little bit? Not really at all, because I went back and looked at American Pharoah, and remember, he missed the Breeders' Cup with a problem, and then he first appeared on the work tab as a three-year-old on February 2nd with a 3-furlong workout and 36 and change. And so he was able to have his first workout of the year on February 2nd and went on to win the Triple Crown. So I kind of use that as a baseline in terms of as long as you can get on that work tab around the 1st of February or before then, you're in good shape. You're not really playing catch-up in any way, shape, or form. And that's good for the horse at number 3 on my list, Instagram, because he's had 2 3-furlong works and now a 4-furlong work. So that's good for him, because I think he's one of the more intriguing three-year-olds we have, really. I mean, if you just go back, he's kind of got forgotten because he went on the shelf after the Best Pal. But, I mean, his 2 wins last year were just jaw-dropping. A 5-furlong race at Los Alamitos by 10, and then the Best Pal that he won by a little over 10 with a 92 buyer. And we know how strong a buyer that is for a two-year-old in the summer. I mean, you don't see too many in the 90s. And it wasn't just the buyer of the winning margin, it was the way he did it. I mean, so that Into Mischief colt for Hollendorfer, and Hollendorfer on your show, I liked what he was saying there, that while he did put on weight when he was away from the track, since he's come back, you know, he said that he should come around quickly. And so that was a good interview you had with Hollendorfer. Man, you went through his barn. That was really good. We got a total update on that Hollendorfer barn, which is good, because that's a barn you really kind of want to know what's going on there. So, and then the colt, I've got him probable second, and the news about game winner that Baffert's thinking San Felipe for him would indicate to me that maybe improbable would be the one that would head out maybe to like the Rebel and the Arkansas Derby, because that would make sense for those two, certainly, to separate them. And so maybe that will be the plan for improbable if game winner does indeed go to the San Felipe and then the Santa Anita Derby. And then who knows how good Maximum Mischief is. And he had his first workout of the year here, and it was a really good one in Florida. 46 and change, and that was his first work since the Remsen. And, I mean, how talented is he? He's got 3 buyers, a 94, 98, 97. I mean, he certainly looks, you know, kind of Smarty Jones this coming off those back-to-back impressive wins at Parks and then the nice win going 1 1/8 in the Remsen. So, and then at number 5 on my list, I'm very intrigued, like with Instagram, I'm intrigued by Mucho, because I was just blown away by his maiden win at Saratoga, and he got beat as the favorite in the hopeful, but he came out of the race, you know, with a problem. And now he's had a couple of 3-furlong workouts. So, again, using that American Pharoah barometer, that American Pharoah had his first workout of his 3-year-old campaign on February 2nd, the fact that Bucho's had 2-3 furlong drills on January 6th and January 13th shows he's in the Kentucky Derby game too for Bill Mott. So those are the top five on my list right now. And as we're heading down that Derby trail, a phrase we hear on your show quite a bit.
Absolutely. And we'll at some point, maybe on John Monday, I wouldn't think you had a chance to dive into it, but for those that haven't looked at Saturday's card at Fairgrounds, get ready for the 14-horse LeCompte.
Yeah, actually 15 entered with an also eligible, and
yes, that's right.
That race, that's a very, very, very good group they have there.
It's amazing, and you know, granted, there'll be some scattering to the winds when Oaklawn opens next week, but you know, for now, the first two big stake days, stake Saturdays at Fairgrounds have been spectacular. There was that card before we went on the holiday break, the 22nd of December that we talked about with Marcus. We'll certainly have Marcus this week, but the LeCompte and the Silver Bullet Day and everything else. There's also, I think, four maiden specials that have got some important horses that you know, there's going to be some disappointment on Saturday for operations that are, you know, looking to, you know, get that diploma and, you know, then take the next step. So if one of the really nice things about the Fairgrounds season is how out in front of their, you know, of their race days they are in the racing office, and so you can spend all week diving into that monstrous field in the LeCompte.
And I'm interested in that race. I think Plus K Parfait will probably go favored there, and deservedly so, off his big effort to narrowly get beat in the Grade Two Kentucky Jockey Club in the slop to Signal Man, and he ran a really big race there that day, and Leperu rides. But I'm looking at this War of Will, because when he ran his first four races on the grass last year, and I have such respect for Gary Barber and Mark Cassey. I mean, to me, there's an owner and trainer. They rank right up there for people that know what they're doing and are as good as it gets in this game. And the fact that Barber and Cassey thought enough of War of Will as a maiden to run him in the Grade 1 summer, which he ran well. He ran second to the highly regarded Fog of War. Then they ran him in the Grade 3 Bourbon as a maiden, and he finished fourth and only got beat three-quarters of a length. And then they ran him in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf as a maiden, and he didn't exactly embarrass himself there. He finished fifth and only got beat 3.5. So then they put him on the dirt at Churchill. He got a sloppy track, and he won with authority that day by 5. So he's 1-for-1 on the dirt. He's a Warfront out of a Saddler's Wells mare, so there's plenty of stamina there. I've been to one ARC in my life. It was 1984, and Saddler's Wells was in it. And, I mean, he's as good a source of stamina. I mean, that's like looking and seeing Prince Quillo as the broodmare sire of somebody in my book as far as outstanding stamina for a pedigree. So that War of Will is really intriguing to me. And maybe, you know, he'll just turn out that it won't pan out here in the LeCompte, and maybe they'll go back to the grass. Or maybe he's going to show that he's really, you know, his works at the Fairgrounds on the dirt, I think, have been very, very good. He had a bullet drill on December 30th. On January 5th, he worked in 59 and changed the second best of 76. And then on January 12th, he worked 48 flat, third best of 145. So these works for Cassie, I mean, that I'm really looking at this War of Will, and I especially like him because I don't think he'll be the favorite in this race. So this is one of those situations where I'm kind of looking at a horse that might be somewhat of a, I mean, he's not going to be a huge price, obviously, but you know.
Well, in a 14 horse field, any
that's right.
You know, horses
get lost.
Well, and
I know that
for
making the morning line, because believe me, that's the one dynamic a lot of people don't get. The size of the field is what drives the morning line odds a lot of times, because when you're carving up that pie and you got to carve it up with 14 horses, and you've got to balance with your percentage. that's how you end up with a 7-2 McKenzie in the Malibu. And believe me, I had every expectation he might likely go shorter than 7-2. But if I make him 8-5 or 9-5 or 5-2 with those percentage points, I got to bump horses up that I was making maybe 6 or 8-1. I got to make them 15 or 20.
Sure.
And I don't want to do that because one of those horses might get to where somebody, you know, a lot of people start gravitating toward them and you look like an idiot because you got some horse 15 or 20 or 12 or something that you should have 6 or 8 and they win by 5 and they get bet down to 4 or something. And like I say, you look like a complete moron.
There's a few horses in here, and obviously we'll talk. Steve Haskins is going to be on with us on Wednesday, and Marcus probably, I don't know if he'll wait till Friday probably, but there's some horses that you've heard of here that we're kind of bubbling under the surface as two-year-olds. There's a horse like Tackett the West Virginia bred for Michael Stidham, that's now wins back to back at Fairgrounds. That pair of 80 plus buyer performances. There's Tight 10 that people have seen in lots of stakes action. The Winchell homebred, the Tappet colt, and actually Barber and Oxley combined on another Cassie, which is Mo Speed, who's kind of probably a touch under the radar yet. Dale Roman shows up with an all ball purchase at Meyer. Broke the maiden on the that off the turf race closing weekend at Churchill. So there's a lot going on in here. Winchell and Asmussen with another Tappet out of the Nice Wicked Deed. That's Wicked Indeed. One at First Asking. So this is going to be a lot of fun. Joe Sharp involved as well with what looks like a decent hard spun that might be stepping forward at the right time, stretching out to two turns for the first time. It's going to be crazy. John, a couple of things. Let's hit the beat the host drum for a minute, and we can tell everybody that Steve Midgley and Jackie Zimmerman just so happened that they ended up both posting $142 mutual totals in the group of eight races that Millie Ball offered up, and they split the prize $1,125 each. Neil Capone was third. He was $6 back, $136, and so Neil picks up the third place prize for $250, and we are 2 weeks in, and close to 700, I think, have already qualified for the championship. So, you know, John, you've got to provide a little bit of a resistance here to the avalanche of Beat the Host winners so far. You know, you'll do it on Saturday.
Well, you mentioned last week that that Jack Chenard was the weekly winner, and we were pondering whether it was the Jack Chenard that
had to be,
and it was. I got confirmation, and in fact, that was the first contest he's ever entered.
Get out of here! you got to be kidding.
Nope. I mean, he did it because his wife, who is also in racing, has covered racing for Sacramento newspaper and is very, very knowledgeable in racing. She was the one that wanted to play the contest, and he only played it to see where they would have a contest between themselves to see which one would do
better.
Unbelievable. And he says, lo and behold, I ended up winning the whole contest.
Unbelievable.
So
that's great.
Well, you know, there's a phrase, and it's amazing how often I've seen it, beginner's luck. I mean, and I have to say, my one experience as a horse owner, I can speak to that beginner's luck, because the horse that we claimed at Long Acres took it over to Playfair, and when we ran it, sure enough, first horse I ever raced as an owner with Seven Partners, the horse won and won easy. And there again on breeding, my dad was telling me, and I love the name of the first horse I ever owned, Political Pull. And my dad says, he can't go a mile. And I said, why do you say that? He says, the way he runs, I don't think he can go a mile. I said, he's out of an Eddie Schmidt mare. And this was like what I talk about, Sadler's Wells or Prince Quillo. I mean, Eddie Schmidt was one of those marathon-type horses. I said, believe me, he might not win. He may get beat, but it's because he's not good enough. It's got nothing to do with whether he can get a mile. And our horse won easy going a mile. He won by like about four. So, and he came back and won his next race at a mile too. So, actually, he won sprinting and then he ran second at a mile. But anyway, that Beat the Host. I was one of the originals in this endeavor, and always take it very seriously. We'll see how I do. I always feel like you got a big target on your back. And my number one goal, just like with my picks in the program at Santa Anita, is to not get shut out. So I'll cross my fingers and hope to avoid getting shut out. But then I like to always try at least for a few decent prices in, along the way someplace. So, but again, we're expecting a pretty rainy situation clear through Saturday. So that's another wrinkle that I'm going to probably have to deal with in terms of the Santa Anita Saturday card. Is this,
well, you can always the beauty of picking these eight races. You could always go five
right.
at Gulfstream and three at Santa
Anita.
Well,
I've actually done that a fair amount from the standpoint of a lot of those Gulfstream races are so wide open. I mean, not. There's no question Gulfstream offers very good betting races in terms of especially those turf races. So, and I've been lucky. I've hit a couple of decent payoffs through the years at Gulfstream that way. So, but like I say, the rain should be out of our way after Thursday, so that should be good for me. So Saturday might not be too bad anyway from the weather standpoint. So we're crossing our fingers on that. But we got a lot going on. I'm looking forward to the Pegasus too. You know, we have it. We've had Accelerate and City of Light training lights out here at Santa Anita as they get ready for their rubber match in the Pegasus. City of Light beat Accelerate at Oaklawn Park, but then Accelerate beat City of Light in the Gold Cup at Santa Anita. So those, and then they each were a Breeders' Cup winner. Accelerate won the Breeders' Cup Classic, and City of Light won the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. And so it'll be interesting to see which one of the two prevails in their rubber match, at least between each other. And Flavian Pratt here in Southern California, the rising riding star, has picked up the mount on Audible for Todd Pletcher. So that was some Pegasus news as well.
Well, and we'll talk to Todd in a little less than an hour, actually. And, John, the weekend at Santa Anita hit a couple of highlights. I'm going to get to John Sheriff's probably tomorrow. Going to run out of time today. We're going to talk, as soon as you and I are done, we're going to talk to Don Schnell, who came down from the Canadian Northwest and wins with Escape Clause, wins the La Cañada, and I kind of tongue-in-cheek was saying that Mike Willman was combing the annals of Santa Anita history for the last Manitoba bred to show up and win a stake at Santa Anita. But otherwise, you know, there were a couple of things we didn't talk about. Friday's Stronach 5 result, which was fairly formful. There was one decent price, and then Golden Gate, as seemingly happens now every week, Golden Gate was a little tricky to close things out. I think, about 1,100? I think it paid 1,100 and change on Friday. But it did include that maiden race that we had talked about a little bit. And it was Michael McCarthy with Sutro, the filly, going the mile and an eighth on the grass. And Mike Smith aboard for the Violence filly, beat confidentially the mile and the eighth turf try to graduate. And these were older.
By the way, I was mentioning how you had gone through that Hollendorfer barn, and people listening to your show again might have cashed a nice bet because Hollendorfer talked pretty glowingly about Calf Moon Bay.
Yep.
And Calf Moon Bay went off at 6-1 and was victorious in a race in which Kahira from the Bob Baffert barn was bet down to heavy favoritism. Calf Moon Bay won in a photo with Mike Smith aboard, and you get a 6-1 winner there, the daughter of Bodemeister. But
yep,
Hollendorfer talked, how much he liked that filly, quite frankly, and that was something that resonated with me.
Attaboy. Well, that's why we ask about some of those races. And of course, the other day we had Mintz. Don Little gave out, and there was somebody else too. It's been a good start to the year unless you're the host for Beat the Host, then it hasn't been. John, I appreciate it.
By the way, that is such a marvelous story with this escape clause, and she was just so visually impressive. I mean, she sat third early and just blew to the front on the far turn with Tyler Bayes, and Bayes said, you know, she really, once she got to the lead, she really wasn't running all out because she, and that's not unusual. I mean, she kind of thought the race was probably over, and she still won by 5.5 with a lot of authority, I thought. I mean,
yep.
And that's wonderful. I mean, this is, as you say, a Manitoba Canadian bred that now is a graded stakes winner. That was her first graded stakes win. It was her 19th victory overall, which Frank Miramonte noted during his call of the race. And, I mean, this is for her to be a graded stakes winner now, that certainly increased her value substantially. I mean, it's just great. I mean, here she was running the Assiniboia Downs and Century Downs and Zia Park and Canterbury and Northlands Park, and she comes to Southern California, and she has, you know, held her own very nicely here in Southern California. And that was just, and then, I mean, how about the filly that ran, or I should say mare that ran second? I mean, she's not chopped liver. She is 13 for 22 in her career and ran a good second in the La Cañada, but she's raced at Sunland and Zia Park over there and Albuquerque, and she came in and, you know, at least got graded stakes placed here, and that helps her value, a daughter of Include out of a Forest Wildcat mare. But I wasn't surprised to see Escape Clause run well on a wet track, because one thing I've noticed through the years, when you see Unbridled in a Pedigree, boy, those Unbridleds, they like a wet going most of the time, a lot. And this mare is by Going Commando, who's by Unbridled Song, who, of course, is the son of Unbridled. So, but that was impressive. I look forward to hearing what Don Schnell says. That's so exciting. He's the owner and the trainer. And these are the stories that just make racing, you know, so great, because it proves that, you know, yes, we have the Coolmores and the Godolphins and so forth, but here's Don Schnell just buys a mare for a modest price, and she's now earned over $400,000 and is a graded stakes winner.
So we'll talk to Don Schnell next. Escape Clause gonna try the heavy going yet. May end up in the Beholder Mile yet. So we'll look forward to the conversation next with Don Schnell, then Nick Tamaro and Todd Pletcher in this third hour. John, thanks so much. Good luck on Saturday in Beat the Host.
Thanks a lot, Steve, and I'll need all the luck I can get.
I can tell you, guy, because I do it as well. I'm going to have the first Saturday in February, I think. I think I'm February 2nd. Yeah, the week before Vegas. Let's take the time out here, and when we come back, Don Schnell to talk about his Manitoba bread.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.